because this is our goal, that when the Father see us, he will see his Son. And when we do all these things that draw us and bring us closer and closer to Jesus, and every time if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, we ask for forgiveness, we are covered under the righteousness of Christ. This morning, we're going to talk about my daily to-do list, something that we need to do every single day. This thing about to-do list, Nikki keeps a to-do list every day. It's really, really can get a little frustrating because she does a yearly to-do list. This is what she wants to accomplish in a year. Then she divides it down to a month. Then it goes to a week, and then it's her daily to-do list. I find them all over the house. And then she gets mad at me if I don't keep a to-do list, you know. And it's okay. It's just to-do list keeps your schedule tight. You can check, and you can say, oh, I completed this. Oh, I got to complete that. So today, our to-do list is something that we'll never complete until we get to heaven. We're going to talk about just five things that we need to do every single day of our lives. And we're also going to talk about how to do those things. 47 years ago is when I joined the church, Seventh-day Adventist Church. I hadn't really read about the Sabbath, about how to keep it. I just read, they had a little pamphlet. It just tells me, confirming that the seventh day is the Sabbath, okay? And it was just confirming that when the Sabbath was created and everything, and I was just so happy. But nobody told me I should probably not watch TV on Friday night. I was just so happy about the Sabbath. I called up one of the saints, and I said, guess what? I'm looking at such and such on TV. And they said, are you watching TV? I said, yeah. They said, you're watching TV tonight? I said, mm-hmm. And I was going to tell her what I'm looking at. I'm all excited because I'm already, my house was clean and everything. I knew that. But then I keep my clean house anyway every day. She said, the person said, you're not supposed to watch TV on the Sabbath. I said, well, nobody told me that. I didn't find that in the pamphlet. And I just started reading, so I didn't really know. And so based on that, I'm saying, there may be some things that people may not really understand how to do certain things. When you tell children you got to let Jesus in their heart, they really don't know how to do that until you explain how to do it. There's adults when you say, let Jesus in your heart. How do you do that? We need, everybody here needs to help each other with these things. Give some tips. Give some suggestions. Go straight directly to Jesus. We'll show you how to do everything. But it's also nice that we can talk about some things that's going to how to help strengthen us in our relationship with Christ. Don't you agree? Wonderful. The first thing on our to-do list that we need to do every single day, and these are things, you know, it's never anything new. You know all these things, but let's try to give a little help, some suggestions that might make the path a little easier for us. So how? The first thing is, how do you be controlled by the Holy Spirit? We know that we must be controlled by the Holy Spirit, or we'll be controlled by another spirit. You got two spirits. You got good, you got evil. You're going to be controlled by one of them. It should be the Holy Spirit, because if it is not, we will not see the face of God. So let's talk about a minute or two, how to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. First, you got to understand that the Holy Spirit loves you and wants to live in your heart When it says heart, it's talking about your mind. The Holy Spirit wants to control your mind. And we've got to be working towards that, because before Jesus comes, the Holy Spirit is going to be withdrawn from this earth, and he must be in your mind, or we will not make it. So we're going to talk about how to be controlled by the Holy Spirit first. You understand, he will not force his way on any of us. We must want him to do it. We must want to be saved. We got to really want it. If you don't want it, it will not happen. And we must understand the Holy Spirit's work. We'll never understand the nature of the Holy Spirit, but we can understand how he works. And what he wants to do is take all these corrupt things in our mind and replace them with things that are lovely, things that are pure, things that are holy, things that are virtuous, things that are of good report. So how do we do that? So every day when you get up in the morning, you've got to ask the Lord for the Holy Spirit. You can't live on fumes. You can't go to church and think it's going to carry you for the rest of the week. If that's the case, then maybe you need to be eating like that and just eat your physical food once a week. And then maybe you'll get it. Maybe you'll understand. Every day, ask for the Holy Spirit. You got to understand the Holy Spirit is not a force. The Holy Spirit is a person, the third person of the Godhead, who's just waiting for us to let him live in our minds. What did Jesus say? If ye being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, even your Holy Father, who is our Heavenly Father, he knows how to give the Holy Spirit to us. And that made me think about that. I watch my grandchildren buy a phone, an iPhone for their children just about every other month, because they break them. They love them. They love their children, and they want to make them really, really happy, and they love doing it. Every other month, I'm looking at these cell phones being cracked and broken, and they just go buy another one. And then I look around and I see all these $250 gym shoes. The parents really do like to buy good gifts for their children. I'm not one of them. You're going to go and get your shoes from Payless, and you're going to get one of them flick open cell phones that the social services give you. I mean, you know, it's still a gift. But parents love their children. So think about it. If parents, and when the Bible says being evil, it's not talking about that they're, you know, really evil. It's just talking about on this earth. You know what I'm saying? So if that makes them happy, how happy do you think it makes Jesus just to give us the Holy Spirit? And all we have to do is sincerely ask. But now when we ask, we got to mean it. We got to surrender stuff. You can't say, Jesus, come into my mind, and your mind is so filled with other stuff that there's no room for him to come in. So he will empty everything that is blocking your view of Jesus, and he will fill it with the love of Christ, and you'll see the beauty of him, and you'll love him forever. But he will not force us to obey, and he will not live in an impure vessel. We need to stop fighting against ourselves. We're not fighting against the Holy Spirit. We're fighting against whether or not we want to let the Holy Spirit control us. He must control us. We're told that if we are not directly influenced by the Holy Spirit, then Satan will mold us. And who wants to be molded by Satan? Not me. Do you? If we don't resist, if we just sit back and say, Jesus, I need you to help me to do this. Help me to do that. Help me to do anything that is blocking your view. Help me to resist temptation. If we just let him help and stop fighting and wanting to hold on to stuff, he'll do it, and we'll all be drawn to Christ. Let me read a little object lesson to you called The Christian Hoarder. Have you ever watched that movie, Hoarders? Okay, so now you got a picture. This is called The Christian Hoarder. The Holy Spirit is likened to a housekeeper whose job is to clean and purify our mind. The Father gave him to us as a helper to mold and fashion us like the divine. He presents before our mind obligations, and he knows the temptations of each. He gives strength in every emergency so that perfect characters can be reached. But cooperation from us is needed to stay on his straight, narrow course. He does not interfere with our choices, and our obedience will not be forced. Now, when he comes to dwell in individual minds, the love of the world will make it unfit. If our minds are filled with filth and trash, then he has nowhere to sit. We ask the Spirit to take away everything that will surely make us fall. We say and we sing, "I surrender." The problem is we don't surrender all. So the Spirit begins to clean up, removing grudges, revenge, and doubt. And we stop him saying, don't throw away revenge. There's still somebody I need to cuss out. He starts to throw away gossiping, but we debate him at every turn. We say, you know, it's not really gossiping. I'm just expressing my concern. He picks up vanity, criticism, unhealthy eating, trying to hurl it out of mind's door. Our struggle to hold on to these cherished sins leaves us fighting our own spiritual war. The Spirit is grieved, and he says to our mind, "You're preventing me from doing my job. If you hold on to these sinful things, you will never see the face of God. Just allow me to get rid of all that offends. Allow me to do what I do. Allow me to replace your unholy desires with things pure, good, lovely, and true." So when we understand that's the Holy Spirit's job and that's what he wants to do, we need to sit back and let him do it. We say these things: let go, let God, I surrender. Say, if you're not going to do it, stop saying it and stop singing it. Okay? The next thing on our to-do list: how to study and meditate and pray. Prayer is the foundation of everything. Study, if we don't know anything, if we say, "I'm just not gonna study," we're still gonna be held accountable for it. So you may as well study and at least know something. How to study God's word. First, you gotta understand that God's word is his character. And if when we study, we will have the character of Christ. You must understand that God's word really is the blood that runs through your veins. It's that important. Because if you don't understand it, then you're not going to really be interested in reading it. You need to study every single day. You need to find a certain time of day that you're going to study. Now, it's ideal if it's the same time, but if not, make sure you study within that day. Don't try to pick up God's word after you've worked all day and you're tired and you're exhausted. Don't do it at that time. Don't do it if you're excited about something. Don't do it if you're over anxious, because your Bible is working against two different things. You see it? You want your atmosphere to be perfect for when you study. You even want your home to be clean and uncluttered. Should be a perfect room just for you to study, just like a room just for you to pray. Okay? Don't study just to teach Sabbath school on your day. Don't study just because it's time for you to preach. God's word have got to be your will and vice versa. This is how you study. You study from Genesis to Revelation so that things can daily unfold. If you have a calendar and you want to follow that calendar, that's good for you if that's what you want to do. I tried to do that once, and I had this calendar when I first joined the church. And they says, "Well, here's a daily calendar that you study, and in 1 year, you'll be through with the Bible." Number one, we're not in a rush. You don't have to rush. If it takes you your lifetime to read it with quality and not with quantity. So I'm trying to read. So it started me in Genesis in the morning, and then at night it said go to Matthew. I'm just starting. I didn't know anything. So I'm reading Genesis. I go to Matthew, and they're talking about the rending of the kingdom. I'm saying, what is that? I need background. So it didn't work for me, but it may work for you. But just study God's word. Study it with wanting to be a doer of the word, like Pat said, and not just a hearer only. And don't study just to keep everything to yourself so that you can seem like you this Bible scholar. Study to have the character of Christ. Because if we don't study like that, we will definitely be deceived before he gets here. Through study, you'll fall in love with Jesus every day. And did you know that when you study right before going to bed, your dreams are sweet? Not after you're all tired and all, you know, and you'll just fall asleep at the second verse. Study at a good time before going to bed, and your dreams are sweeter. I put that to the test, because one time I watched something and it wasn't all that great, and I went to sleep and I dreamed about it. And then the other night, I just studied right before bed, and my dreams were so sweet. Sweet dreams. If you refuse to study, you're still going to be held accountable for it. Make sure that when you study God's word, it is really so that you can have a stronger relationship with the Lord and you can help others. We need to be others able to explain, thus saith the Lord, to others. But if we don't know it, it's kind of hard to explain it. You might be like Mrs. Skim, Mrs. Reed, and Mrs. Study. I would like to introduce to you Mrs. Skim, Mrs. Reed, and Mrs. Study. Here's another parable for you. Mrs. Skim, her spiritual life is growing dim, and that's why we call her Mrs. Skim. She finds her Bible on Friday and takes a peek. She says, I ain't got no time during the week. She skims a Sabbath school lesson and memory verse. Sometimes some of us do even worse. After working, cleaning, and just being idle, she said, I'm just too tired to study the Bible. So she skims a verse here, a little verse there, and she doesn't even begin with prayer. Mrs. Skim knows nothing about spiritual food. She doesn't know that through study, she'll be renewed. Mrs. Skim will never, ever reach perfection until she studies under the Spirit's direction. I would now like to introduce you to Mrs. Reed. She hurries through the Bible with blinding speed, and that's why we call her Mrs. Reed. She takes no time to meditate on the Bible's beauty. She's just reading a Bible out of duty. She reads with no meaning and no spiritual desire. It's not accompanied with the Holy Spirit's fire. After two verses, Mrs. Reed starts snoring. To her, God's sacred word is boring. You want to know why she's so grumpy and sour? She's not allowing the God to give her any power. In her life, Jesus cannot be a part, for his words doesn't have an effect on her heart. Information is not understood or retained. Mrs. Reed is just reading the Bible in vain. What will it profit a man to skim or to read? A love for God's word is what she needs. I would like to now introduce you to Mrs. Study. Wouldn't it be nice if all we had to do was change a hat and make it to heaven? I'm going to put on my heaven hat today. You know, that'd be wonderful. Mrs. Study, as she studies God's word, her heart yields with putty. And that's why we call her Mrs. Study. She's our example, so draw close and hear it. She begins her study with the Holy Spirit. Power, understanding, and wisdom is felt as she digs deep through the Bible and other lesson helps. She pauses, ponders, and meditates on God's word. It makes her happy, kind, and she starts singing like a bird. Before she turns on the TV, cleans her house, or cook, she picks up her most favorite book. And when Mrs. Study is tempted to do something wrong, she says, "It is written," and it makes her strong. She puts God's word to memory, and it stays on her mind, and the Spirit brings it back to her just at the right time. Oh, perfect submission and perfect trust only comes when we study, and study we must. Thank you, Mrs. Study. So far, we must ask for the Holy Spirit every single day. We must sincerely ask and really want it. We're not playing any games with the Lord anymore, if you've ever played any. It is a life and death situation. Either we'll have the Holy Spirit or we will have the devil controlling our mind. It's either or. Number three, let's talk about how to resist temptation. The good thing about temptation is that Bible verse right there. There is a way to escape every temptation. There is nothing you can do that you can't stop doing. There is an escape for everything. And wouldn't it be so easy if all we had to do is push an escape button and the temptation is gone? Well, if God wanted to do that, he could have did that with Lucifer and everybody would be saved. We'd be in heaven right now. He wants us to form and build characters so we can be safe to save. So how do we resist temptation? Well, we can only do it through the Holy Spirit. But we need to stop. If we're doing this, don't be inviting temptation to tempt you, thinking that you're all strong. Oh, I can handle that. Oh, no, that ain't going to bother me. That may be something that you can't handle, but we can't handle nothing without the Holy Spirit. Don't even try. We can't do it. Yielding to sin is sin, but the temptation is not. So if you're tempted to do something, don't worry about it. That's when you're supposed to. You get that burning feeling that you really want to do something that you shouldn't do, and we know what it is. That's when you start doing something different. Maybe you pray first. Lord, help me not to do it. You might want to go for a little walk. You might want to put on some gospel uplifting music. You might want to start singing a song, exercising, anything. Help me, Jesus, to get this temptation out of my mind. And you may have to do that every single day until you overcome. Overcoming is a lifetime. It means sanctification. We walk with Jesus every single day. Stay out of Satan's ground. Stay out of his yard. Quit playing around with him. Okay? Just because man says something is okay, you got to go by what God says. Just because they legalize this recreational marijuana, it ain't legal for you. You do what the Lord says to do, regardless. It doesn't matter what the situation is. The Lord, the Holy Spirit, is there to help us out of it if we let him. We got to make good choices. If you want to make good choices, then you got to watch what you're eating. You know that what you're eating determines the decisions you're going to make. You know that. You don't like nobody telling you things like that because you already know it. It's just that, you know, what you eat, that's just huge. It's huge for people because we like to eat. This is why that's what Jesus overcame for us in the wilderness for 40 days. If you want to make good decisions, if you want to resist temptation, there's certain things you should not eat, and one of them is flesh. It does not help you make good decisions. It blurs and dims your thoughts. It alters the way you think. So that's just one of the little things. As soon as you're tempted, you need to pray, you can sing, and don't dwell on the temptation. So, Roberta, how you doing? Girl, I'm trying to get over this. I'm trying to get over that. But I just can't do it. What do you mean? You know you can't do it, but God can do it. So that says you need to just sit back, calm yourself down, and pray and say, Jesus, help me to let you do it. Sometimes people pray this prayer, Lord, help just take the desire away. He may do that, and he may not. He can take the desire away from everybody on this earth. He can take everybody's desire away. And then you got these people up in heaven with all kind of other sinful desires. You want to just do that one at a time while you're up in heaven? Do it now while you're on this earth again so you can be safe to save. We have to work our prayers. If you ask God to take something away from you that will keep you out of heaven, work that prayer. So here's another little example. So let's just say if you are a smoker and you want to stop smoking, and you say, Jesus, please help me to stop smoking. Please help me. I love you so much. Please help me to stop smoking. As soon as I go to the store and get my last pack, I'm just going to take one cigarette a day. I'm going to gradually do it. If you're like that, you got to ask yourself this, because this is what happened to me years ago, not with smoking, but I joined the church, and I had just joined, and I had just put in my refrigerator $150 worth of pork. Because I didn't know anything. I had just joined. I didn't know anything. Then I was reading this amazing fact on health that Jasper gave me that I didn't want him to give it to me until after all my pork was eaten up. But he gave it to me. And I didn't know what was in the manual. And the thing about the food that was in my refrigerator, I had five children, and I was only making $30 a week, so $150 worth of food, that was very hard for me to come by. Anyway, I had $150 worth of pork chops, pork this, pork that, in my refrigerator. Then Jasper gives me this health book, and what's the first thing in it? The pig is abominable. So I'm saying, okay, Lord, so what do you want me to do with all this pork? You gave me the money to buy this food. So tell me what you want me to do. He says, what do you think you should do? He says, use your mind, reason, think it out. So I said, okay. And the Lord is telling me that because he wants us to reason. He says, come and let us reason together all the time. So I said, all right, I could do this. I can go for another couple of months. It'll take us to eat up all this food. I can do that. And then, Jesus, after a couple of months, then I will put down all the pork. Or I had to say, Jesus said to me, will that weaken you towards me or will it strengthen you? And I said, well, it definitely ain't going to strengthen me. Who wants to go 2 months being weak? Weaker and weaker and weaker. You understand, each victory makes you strong. That's why we sing the song, Yield Not to Temptation. Each victory will help you some other to win. So when I realized that if I did it gradually, like I was told to do, because it's a sin to waste food, it's just $150. Gotta give me that back. So I took all the pork and I put it in a garbage bag. And I threw it in the trash. I didn't want to let anybody know because I know they would tell me that I should have given it to someone who was poor. And I knew that's what someone would have told me. The Lord says, if it's unfit for you, it's unfit for the person that you're going to give them to. Throw it away. All we're talking about is $150. And he did replace it with beans and rice for 2 months. But I'm not complaining about it. I mean, because we ate and we ate good. I'm not complaining. And how did I feel? I felt good because I was victorious over that. And to me, that was huge. So these are the kinds of things that help us to resist temptation. Guard the whole avenues of the soul to help you to resist what you see, what you hear, what you think, what you eat, where you go. If you guard those things, then Satan can find no entrance to those things. So you can't say, if you're struggling with a bad temper, you might not want to watch certain movies on TV with all that violence, even the Avengers. If you're struggling with any kind of sensual desires, you might not want to watch anything on BET. Nothing. You can't even look at the commercials. So this is how you strengthen yourself towards God. And when you do these things, when you overcome, don't you feel good? Oh, it's beautiful. We need to write down every time we overcome. So when that temptation, or if it comes back, we can look at me and say, oh, I overcame that last year. Devil, get behind me through Jesus. You see? So these are the kinds of things we have to do every single day. And if we're converted, God will not permit us to fall under the power of Satan. And he tells us that if you want Jesus to smile on you like he did Daniel and Enoch and David, then you must overcome, and you do it because you love him. We're not doing it just to go to heaven. We're going to go when we overcome, but our reason is because we want Jesus to smile on us like he did David. Daniel, he called Daniel my beloved. I want Jesus to call me his beloved. I want him to say, like he told Satan, so what do you think about Job? How he loves me. He knew Job loved him. I want Jesus to look at me and think of me on those reasons. I want him to love me, and I want to see his smile and not his frown. There's a battle going on for our souls between God's angels and evil angels. And we're told in the spirit of prophecy, this battle is just as real as the battles on this earth. And it goes like this. Evil angels contend for our souls. The conflict is severe. They crowd about our weakened state and they corrupt the atmosphere. Their deadly, poisonous influence stupefies our senses and mind. They form a wall of darkness around us to keep us spiritually blind. Holy angels anxiously watch us, keeping Satan's angels at a standstill. For it is not the work of holy angels to control our minds against our will. If we yield to the enemy, making no effort to resist or reject, then the angels of God can do nothing more but to keep Satan's host in check. God's angels watch this intense struggle. They see us abused, persecuted, and annoyed. They're waiting for us to look to heaven for help, so they just keep us from being destroyed. Thank you for the angels for doing that. Jesus will not commission holy angels to free us from Satan's grasp if we make no effort to help ourselves when all we need to do is sincerely ask. If Satan sees he's in danger of losing us and we allow Jesus to fight the fight, then Satan calls for reinforcement to keep from us heaven's light. But if we, through Jesus, persevere and Jesus sees our feeble intent, then he sends reinforcement, which are angels that excel in strength. At the sound of our desperate, fervent prayer, Satan's host trembles, but he doubles his attacks. He continues to call legions of evil angels, desperately trying to keep God's angels back. But when angels clothed with the army of heaven comes to our fainting soul that is tossed, then Satan and his host must fall back because they know their battle is lost. We're told that if we could see this battle going on in our lives, we would flee to resist temptation in all of its forms. So every day, we must ask for the Holy Spirit, sincerely ask him to come into our minds every single day. We must study, meditate, and pray every single day. And these should be joyous things to do because this fortifies us for that day. For instance, and I always say this, when you get up in the morning, and a lot of people say, those who work days, you know, I'm always in a rush. Okay, well, the only thing that we can say to that is you're just going to have to go to bed earlier so that you can get up earlier, so that you won't be in a rush, because you got to put God first to fortify yourself for that day. Then that way, you probably won't tell somebody to shut up on the road to work who's trying to cut in front of you. So it's just little things like that. When you study, when you pray, it fortifies you. The next one, how to brighten your corner, or how to let your light shine, or how to bloom where you're planted. Everybody has its own corner. Everybody has its own light. Everybody, like they were saying in Sabbath school, has your own gift. There's something everybody's supposed to do. But whatever it is, wherever you are, in your neighborhood, wherever you go, people should look at you and instantly identify you as somebody who loves the Lord. This is letting your light shine. I'm not talking about all overseas, preaching all overseas, which is what God has given some of us to do. But everybody must let your light shine wherever you go. There's no such thing as a Christian who is disliked on their job for something that they've done. If they dislike you, it's going to be for the same reason they disliked Daniel, because they were jealous of him because he was good. They were jealous of him because his life rebuked them. You see? A Christian should be the nicest, sweetest people on this earth. When you're in the grocery store, a Christian do not huff and puff because the cashier is slow. They just don't do that. When the Holy Spirit controls you, you are nice to solicitors. And we know when we're busy, we don't want people knocking on our door soliciting. But you got to say, they're scared to come to your door too, just like you don't want to let them in. Smile and be nice to everybody, everywhere you go. Only you can blow out your light. We sing that song, "Don't Let Satan Blow It Out." Satan can't blow it out unless you tell him to blow it out. So we blow out our life. Don't be afraid to be different, to look different. Don't be afraid of that. Don't be a crowd pleaser. Be a leader. And let your light shine wherever you go, by your actions, the way you talk, the way you dress, the way you eat. The world is looking at you because this light, they need to see some lights shining in the darkness. This is why Jesus says, let your light so shine before men, and don't hide it under a bushel, but put it on a hill, like a city that is set on a hill, so that everybody can see it. Your light should shine in your home. Your children should love being around you. Your husband, your wife should adore you, because when you go into your home, nothing but happiness pours there. Let your light shine in your home. Let your light shine at church. Let your light shine wherever you go, in the stores, at work, wherever. Everybody has a light, and that light is never supposed to grow out, flicker, or be dim. Even if you're sick, on your deathbed, your light can shine. You can still eliminate happiness and joy, even if you're racked with pain, when you put your full trust in the Lord. A Christian is supposed to be a person who is happy, whether they're up or whether they're down. There's no such thing as a depressed Christian walking around all day. Happy Sabbath. So, are you okay, girl, yeah, I got this up in here, this little limp, and my head is hurting, I'm getting these migraines. What do you want to do? I want to walk away and find me another light so that I can get lit my day up. Now I'm depressed. Let the Lord help you with shining your light, and you don't have to say anything. So, brighten your corner where you are. So, this is a parable about four lights. Which one of these lights are you? Once upon a time, there were four Christian lights. Their only task was to let it shine. Now, these lights were to shine in clear, distinct rays so the world can mimic God's design. Light number one really wanted to shine, but thought being different wasn't smart. So it acted, talked, and looked just like the world, and the world couldn't tell it apart. It started slacking up on study and prayer, which then led to unbelief and doubt. The light that God said must shine on the world eventually went out. Now, when light number two shined its light, the world paid no attention but scoffed. This light had the world so confused because it kept flickering on and off. It was sometimes up, sometimes down, sometimes cold or hot. The world said, come on, be consistent. Are you a Christian or are you not? This on and off light went by feelings. Only on good days the light shined. But if the light was depressed or melancholy, it was like the blind leading the blind. Light number three held back its light. It only shined on the Ipsy church. It didn't enjoy going beyond these walls, and the world missed the light if they didn't search. This light went to church, went back home. This light thought it was only for them. This light was hidden under a bushel, but what good is it if it's dim? This bright light, the last final light, the bright light is a true witness, always shining upon a hill. Whatever the lot or circumstance, this light shone brighter still. This light poured forth on neighbors and friends, and more light was given them each day. Let your light so shine just where you are, and God will bless every single ray. Everybody has this light, and we just let it shine. What is that song we sing? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. It shouldn't be a burden to let it shine. If the Holy Spirit is in you, it automatically shines. We don't have to pray, Lord, shine my light today. If the Holy Spirit is in you, it will automatically shine. The last one and the one that's most difficult. How to love your enemies. The Lord says, it's not a problem. What does he say? What is that scripture? Love your enemies, bless them that curse you. But what he says is, it's easy to love those who love you back. So that's not the problem that we're dealing with here, because it's easy to love those. What you got to learn to do through Christ, through your Holy Spirit, is to love the people that don't love you back. And you probably don't even like them either. We have to learn how to separate their actions from the person. We don't like their actions, but we must love the person. And we've got to do that, and we've got to learn how to do that. So we have to pray to God every day. We have to say, Lord, help us to love them, and help them to love me. And so here's some things you can do. There are people that we don't like and people who don't like us. We don't like their actions, that's what I mean. But when you see them, those are the ones you need to give your biggest, brightest smile to. Those are the ones you need to say, oh, you want to come home with me for dinner? Those are the ones you need to get to know them. Because maybe the person that you don't like, maybe it's presumption. Maybe it's something that you misunderstood or misinterpreted. And maybe if you sat down and talked with them, you'll find that they're the most delightful people on earth. So that's something that we can probably do. Don't seek out revenge or retaliation, which a lot of us love to do, because a lot of us have a lot of wit and we're sarcastic and we like to let people see that when they tell us off. But if somebody tells you off, you just told off. It's not the first person that's being told off. Deal with it and move on. Don't talk to others about what other people have done to you. That doesn't help you to love them. If there's someone who you know don't like you, just talk to the Lord about it. And he will reconcile. That's what he does. Compliment people, encourage them, and congratulate them. You know, if you don't like someone, you really don't want to see them prosper. So you got to ask, Lord, help me to rejoice when they rejoice, and help me to be happy at their prosperity. That's all you have to do. But you have to pray for this every single day. It's huge. The Sabbath school lesson is talking about it all this quarter, right, Pat? all quarter. How to get along with people. How to love those who don't love you. If you've done something to them, apologize. Sincerely apologize. But don't apologize like this. Don't say, Marvin, I want to apologize for saying this about you, but you know, if you hadn't said what you said, you know I wouldn't have said that, because you know you do need to watch how you talk to people as well. It ain't just me, it's you too. So I'm sorry, but you got to realize there's some things you need to straighten up. Don't do those kind of apologies. That's just totally in vain. Doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So then we fighting again. No. Just apologize, even if you don't even know what you're apologizing for. Some people could just not like you, just the way you look. They just don't like it. And you say, did I do something? Just go say, whatever I've done to you that make you dislike me, I am sorry. And don't say nothing else. Just move it on. That, for some reason, seems to be very hard to do. But is there anything too hard for the Lord? Nothing is too hard for the Lord. If they curse you out, you just cursed out. I'm sure you've been cursed out before. When we consistently ask God to help us to love our enemies, He will do it. Don't remember, even when you're by yourself, and sometimes when we're by ourselves at home and we remember what people did to us in the past, it could be 30, 40 years ago, and Satan brings it up and we dwell on it. That's called unprofitable memories. Don't do that. It hinders your love for the person. We want to get to where we love everybody, because everybody is a child of God, because God says, I send the Son on the evil and the good, and on the just and on the unjust. And if God can love His enemies, we can love ours. And then maybe one day they won't be enemies. Who knows? So, five things. We need to daily ask the Holy Spirit to come into our mind every single day, but we need to mean it, because He's not going to force. We need to stop fighting against it. Let Him do it, because it's a life and death situation. We need to meditate and pray and study every day. It fortifies us against sin. We're fortified just for that day only. We live one day at a time. Just be perfect for that one day. And if you fall, the Bible says, then you just pray and ask for forgiveness. And if all your sins have been forgiven for that one day, you have led a perfect day, and we need to thank Jesus for it. You do that every day. And then you have to resist temptation. And the good thing about that is, when you resist it, you get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger, and then it's overcome. It says you've got to confess, repent, and forsake, which means stop doing it. And then you go on to the next temptation, which you'll probably get. But follow that pattern, and then you will be covered with the righteousness of Christ, because this is our goal, that when the Father see us, He will see His Son. And when we do all these things that draw us and bring us closer and closer to Jesus. And every time, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. We ask for forgiveness. We are covered under the righteousness of Christ. And we must see these things as a life and death situation, because we don't know if we're going to be here tomorrow or not. In your mind, if you have not given yourself totally to Christ, you can do that in your mind. You don't have to say anything. But if there's anybody in here who would like to let everybody know that they love Jesus and they want to start really, really, truly doing these things sincerely, come up to the front, and we're going to ask the elders who are here to have a special prayer so that the Holy Spirit will reign in all of our hearts. If there is so such a person, you may please come up to the front. If you just want Bible studies so you can learn more and more about the Lord, come up to the front. And elders, if you'll please come with me and join these people for a special prayer. Our prayer, we want the Holy Spirit to reign in these hearts in a special, special way.